This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm Juan Williams, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, June 22nd, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Will Europe accept Ukraine? The continent's two major deliberative bodies debate further help and admission for the war-torn nation.
For Ukraine, it's an important political step, and it's an important sign of political support that Ukrainians will get energy from to keep fighting off the Russian aggression.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Russia has been pummeling and plundering Ukraine for nearly 4 months now, and the European Union is mulling over further actions it can take. International legal experts are visiting the country to investigate potential war crimes. The European Union in Brussels is getting ready to grant a preliminary membership to the nation, and Europe's main humanitarian agency is being lobbied by Ukrainian officials for help for refugees and to export its grain, which is sorely needed around the world.
I'm participating in the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, as I'm a member of the Ukrainian delegation to this assembly.
Lesya Vasilenko is a member of Ukraine's parliament. She is in Strasbourg, France, at the Council of Europe this week.
Essentially, it's a week-long session, and this session is almost entirely dedicated to questions pertaining to Ukraine and to countering Russia's aggression and the consequences of Russian aggression. So just now we are out of a discussion of a heated debate on protecting of women during armed conflict, safety and security, okay, and of all refugee groups, fleeing, and providing safety to the Ukrainian women and children who are fleeing the war and to the 8 million displaced Ukrainians.
What else could be on the agenda for the rest of the week? This has been a big week with regard to Ukraine and its standing with the Europeans. There is a big push for Ukraine to join the European Union. What happens at the end of the week here? What do you hope happens?
Well, actually, just before I take it to the very end of the week where the big news will happen, tomorrow we will hold a discussion here, an urgent debate on the unblocking of the Black Sea. Essentially, Russia's warships keep Ukrainian cargo ships trapped, and Ukrainian cargo ships are loaded with grain and with other food produce, which is so very desperately needed on the African continent and in the Middle East and in certain Asian countries. Ukraine today feeds over 400 million people across the globe. 65% of our agricultural produce goes abroad as exports. But unfortunately, we are unable to provide food to the hungry of this world because Russia is not letting out the grain from ports. So a lot of the debates tomorrow in the building of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe will be dedicated to finding solutions as to how these ports can be unblocked and how can hunger be alleviated from the world. And of course, your big question is about Thursday and Friday and the decisions being made in Brussels. In Brussels, where Ukraine, I very much hope so, and 99% says it will do, Ukraine will be granted candidate status to the EU. Essentially, candidate status to EU membership means that Ukraine is a step closer to becoming a fully fledged member of the European Union.
That is a very big advancement in the Ukrainian political status as well as the cause due to this war. With let's just say that that status is given. What changes for Ukraine at that point? What can further happen that can be helpful to Ukraine's efforts to defend itself and to seek help in defending itself?
Well, essentially, for Ukraine, it's an important political step, and it's an important sign of political support that Ukrainians will get energy from to keep fighting off the Russian aggression. But at the same time, for Ukrainians, it will be a step into readmittance into the European family, to which we Ukrainians belong. Historically, it also will be a sign to Russia saying that it cannot dictate to other sovereign countries what they can and cannot do, because just a reminder, but this whole war started not 119 days ago, but the war started 8 years ago, with Russia actually being against Ukraine's free decision to sign the association agreement with the EU, and Ukraine's decision to pursue its membership in the European Union. So essentially, this will put a full stop to that long-standing dispute. And essentially, we in Ukraine are also hoping that it will cause Russia to back off, because the decision would have been made. That's it. Ukraine is already a member of the EU. There's nothing to fight for. There's no other associations or unions led by Russia that Ukraine will be able to join, because Ukraine would have already have its commitments signed and sealed with the EU.
As a Ukrainian lawmaker, government official, you are really taking part in something that is historic, even though it is against a backdrop that is tragic and scary. But how does it feel for you personally to be taking part of this? There has to be some pride, although I imagine there is some feelings of pressing engagement here to get this done to the best it can be for your country. So how has it been for you to take this role?
You know, I'm actually so grateful for the kind of interviews that we're having now, and for these questions that you're asking, because in the process and these last 4 months, I didn't actually, and I don't have the time to just sit and reflect. And this kind of conversation makes me think about what I'm actually doing. Because for me, like for many Ukrainians, it's just about doing whatever you can to save your country and to save your people and to provide a choice for your children to live in a free and independent Ukraine. Reflecting on what it means to me personally, of course, I understand that we are all paving the way right now with our actions for Ukraine's future. And it feels extremely important to be doing what we're doing, but also it feels the responsibility, the weight of the responsibility really weighs heavy on the shoulders.
You've been hearing Lesya Vasilenko. She is a member of Ukraine's parliament. She is currently in Strasbourg, France, at the Council of Europe, which is debating the human rights issues of Russia's invasion of her country. On the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine, we'll have more with Lesya straight ahead.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Earlier this week, the United States Attorney General Merrick Garland visited your nation to begin assessing or helping how to prosecute war crimes or investigate war crimes. Is it how did that visit go, if you're aware? I know, again, you're out of your country at the moment, but war crimes are a very serious thing. And there is some significant evidence that Russians have committed war crimes against Ukrainians and on Ukrainian soil. So what does Ukraine's government propose to do going forward? We know there's already been one trial, but it's probably not going to end with that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, Russia must answer for all the war crimes, crimes against humanity that it's committing in Ukraine, also for the crime of genocide, which it is committing against the Ukrainian nation, and also for the crime of aggression. And to do all that, the Ukrainian government is working closely with investigators, international investigators, also investigators from a range of countries who are Ukraine's allies, to make sure that the procedures are maintained along the rules of international law, and that all the criminals are brought to justice and to responsibility, and that justice is served. Because at the end of the day, the only reason why Russia is today waging war in Europe, why Russia is committing the crimes it's committing, raping, looting, killing, it's because Russia, for too many centuries, was allowed to get away with all of this criminal behavior. Russia was never punished for crimes of genocide it has committed in the past against Ukrainians. I'm talking now about the 1932-1933 man-made famine instituted by Russia's authorities against the Ukrainian nation, which is called the Holodomor. Russia was never punished for any of the other atrocities it has been committing against the Ukrainian nation in the attempt to wipe out us Ukrainians from the face of the earth just because we are Ukrainians. So Russia, of course, has felt almost inspired to carry on with the same kind of behavior and to carry on pursuing its imperialistic dreams. And this is exactly what it is doing now. And if we are to live in a safe world, in a world safe from Russia's aggression and from Russia being a terrorist state that it is, then we must take action. We must take action now, not just as Ukrainians, but as an international community that wants to leave the legacy of a safe and sound world to the children of tomorrow and to the future generations.
You're bringing up a possible genocide that Russia is committing, and you do bring up something historical that I'd like you to talk a bit more about, because I think the story of the Holodomor is not well known, I think, in the Western world. But there was what is alleged to be a man-made famine in Ukraine that killed a very high number of Ukrainians. Historians have debated whether or not this qualifies as genocide, and certainly the Ukrainians have always insisted that it was. This is a very sensitive issue, I know, for Ukrainians, and it's sort of going to be relitigated, I think, in the lens of what is happening now with Russia targeting mass numbers of civilians in Ukraine. So what should the world know about how Ukrainians feel about the Holodomor, and how the world has sort of not fully accepted that explanation of it being a genocide, and now it has to sort of, you know, rethink that again?
Well, the famine in 1932-1933 took away the lives of something between 4 million and 7 million Ukrainians, has been deliberately organized by Soviet authorities, by Russian authorities, essentially in pursuance of Stalin's strategy to make Ukraine free of Ukrainians. Along with the Holodomor, other actions were deployed by Russian authorities, essentially the deportation of Ukrainians, the taking them away from Ukrainian land, from their homes, and moving them into remote areas of Russia. That was all part of the plan to make Ukraine just another geographical part of Russia, free of Ukrainian language, free of Ukrainian culture, and free of Ukrainian people as such as an ethnicity. All of this amounts to the crime of genocide if we look at the criteria in the 1948 Convention on Genocide. And the nations of the world back then failed to prevent this crime, and this is what made this crime possible in the years to come. The same way that today's nations, freedom-loving nations of the world, failed to prevent the genocide that Putin is instituting against the Ukrainian nation. Now, there have been numerous reports on that. There's also a case, the ICJ, the genocide case between Ukraine and Russia, which is being regarded right now. And right now, it's about time for the world to do the right thing and to finally start acting. First of all, pertaining to the provisions of the convention and to start preventing the act of genocide that Russia is committing against Ukraine. And second of all, is to actually punish Russia for the crime which it is committing against Ukraine. And in order for the punishment to really bring us to the goal, and the goal of any punishment is to make sure that no such act is ever repeated in the future, that never again really means never again and not another yet again. It's important that the future generations of Russians realize that the behavior of their government, of their leadership, back historic times, be it in the 1930s or in 2022, that it was wrong, it was a crime, and that such a crime leads to certain consequences.
Lesya Vasilenko, member of the Ukrainian Parliament in Strasbourg, France, today. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.